produced by Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier, and Wayne Hall. This is Yes Music Podcast, episode 461. John Anderson, Three Ships.
Hi, this is Alan White from Yes, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 461 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine, and co-host Mark Anthony Kay will be along a little bit later on. You can always get involved with the podcast via various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. It's been a bit of a challenging week on the technical side, with Mark in lockdown and without proper internet access, and my move of the YMP Towers into a new location in the house. However, we did manage to listen to the John Anderson Christmas album, Three Ships, which was very enjoyable. On the YMP Facebook page this week, Preston Frazier took the opportunity of last week's episode to find his Trevor Rabin Lost Soundtracks CDs from the Changes box set. As Jay Kranz pointed out, though, they contain less than 15 minutes of music each, which makes him wonder why there are two CDs. In the community posts, Robin Johnson posted his remarkable cover of the drum solo from Ritual. He says, "My aim for this was to capture the spirit of the live versions of the song while also adding some of my own little twists. I was also very lucky to have access to some dramatic lighting and smoke effects, which I think worked out well. It's bombastic and over the top, and I wouldn't have it any other way." Prog Magazine have also published an article on the video, so that's definitely one to watch. On to Jeffrey Mason's list next. A Loudersound.com article about when Tangerine Dream hooked up with Propaganda, who were signed to Trevor Horn's record label ZTT. Grumpy Old Rick's December Ramblings. News of Rick's upcoming two virtual events. A YouTube link to the history of Yes Part 2, which features Mr. Henry Potts, amongst others. A look back at Homeworld, the song from The Ladder, and the video game it was composed for. A very positive review of the Royal Affair tour live from Las Vegas. South Side of the Sky, featuring on bestsongever.com. And an interview with Rick Wakeman on synths and creativity. Great stuff once again, Jeffrey. Michael Handahan spotted the best Yes album, Tomato, in someone's garden. Not sure what that's about. And Mike O'Connor saw Yes mentioned on this day in music history. Thus, 1968, The Who. The Who played their Christmas party at the Marquee Club, London. Also on the bill was a new group called Yes. Members 15 shillings on the night. Other acts appearing at the club this month included Joe Cocker, Free and Led Zeppelin. What a time to be in the capital. Daniel Crone got in touch to point something out. He says, "Also something I realised this morning, Howe has played pretty much the same amount of songs from 90125, if we count Union Tour and the Ladder Tour, as he did for Time and a Word. Not sure what this means, if anything, but I found it interesting. Me too, Daniel." Over on Twitter, Alexander Hubbard posted a picture he drew of Rick Wakeman, and Jeff Downs commented on my Something Else Reviews post about Subway Walls, which he co-wrote with John Davison. Thank you very much indeed to everyone who got in touch in any way this week, including those who left thoughtful comments on last week's show notes. Dave Watkinson, Simon Barrow, Julie, Jeremy North, thanks for the cup of coffee, Jeremy, and Gary Andrews.
This is Miguel Falcão at miguelbass.com. You are listening to the Yes Music Podcast. Established in 2011, this is Two Fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band.
Although it never can be for many people, Christmas is normally associated, at least by those who celebrate it, with happiness and peace. This one could contend is therefore a perfect topic for a John Anderson album, and I bet there are several YMP listeners who still possess the Holiday Card Pack, John Anderson Special Edition, which according to Wikipedia came with a personal autograph from Anderson, as well as a set of five Christmas cards. Each card displayed an image of an Anderson watercolour painting. So, have you got that in your collection? I'm afraid the idea of adding a pop beat to well-known Christmas carols fills me with absolute dread, so when Mark suggested we listen to Three Ships this week, I shuddered. I've been keeping myself away from this record for years, but I need to get over myself and experience what Anderson released in 1985 with the help of lots of people, including Trevor Rabin on guitar and Roy Thomas Baker, a little surprisingly maybe, holding the producer's fader, or whatever. I think my reluctance to listen to pop or rock versions of carols is due to my own annual delight in performing these seasonal favourites in their original setting, a church choir. I'm fortunate to be part of a choir which, apart from this COVID-blighted year, is able to put on a nine lessons and carol service on Christmas Eve, which is always literally packed to the doors with congregation. I've always loved the purity of those musical settings, often a cappella or with delicious organ parts in accompaniment. I also love some of the pop Christmas songs which have incorporated traditional Christmas tunes, and even actual carols. After all, I can't keep harping on about Miguel Falcao's wonderful bass cover of Run With The Fox every year, and at the same time dismiss all pop rock carol mashups out of hand. But, as I've said before, I've never claimed to be consistent. Anyway, I've girded, or maybe gilded, my loins especially for you, and I'm settling down to see what delights or horrors await me in the happy world of an Anderson Christmas. So what was described by one reviewer as a disappointing and superficial collection of Christmas classics, including one of the lamest versions of O Holy Night on record, has 13 songs on the original version, of which 5 might fall into my dreaded category of popped-up carol, but we start with an Anderson-penned number, Save All Your Love. This album sits in between Animation in 1982, which I like a lot, and In the City of Angels in 1988, which is not quite as good in my opinion, so I am expecting a similar 1980s landscape from this first song. The opening keyboards are definitely 80s in character. Anderson enters with a typical vocal melody and the accompaniment is filled with light, sweeping harp and strings. It's pleasant and Anderson's voice is on top form. There's a strange synth change to an odd passage and John then re-enters with a completely different sounding part. And suddenly we realise we have segued into the second song, Easier Said Than Done, which is by keyboard wizard and serial Anderson collaborator, until they encountered an unassailable issue, Vangelis. This is much more up-tempo and fun in an Anderson fashion. There's an electric guitar solo, which is a bit incongruous, and the overall effect of this song is lightweight. But if you like Anderson's solo output, this is enjoyable stuff. It's not a work of overwhelming intellectual artistry, but then again, not everything needs to be. Another slightly strange change goes through some classic 80s synth moments to complete an unusual and interesting song. Now we're on to the title song and the first, which is based on a traditional piece, Three Ships. The opening has a variety of sea-inspired sounds, and it does recall some aspects of Elias of Sun Hilo for me. It's immersive and highly effective. Then we are hit with the spindly tones of what sounds a bit like a Bontempi organ. John sings the refrain, punctuated by synthetic drums, which are a bit overbearing. However, the backing chorus and the general feel of the version is a lot more acceptable than I had imagined it was going to be. Even the gratuitous key change doesn't grate, and it's all a lot of fun if you don't mind the 80s musical artefacts, which I don't. It's a pretty good arrangement of what could otherwise be simplistic banality. Some of the keyboard work is reminiscent of Rick Wakeman, and electric guitar, assuming it's Trevor Rabin at this point, completes a bit of an ARW assembly which works nicely. The choir performs its part well, and a bit of synth brass adds a flourish. It is rather short, but still an enjoyable seasonal piece, which finishes with some more sea sound effects, including parrots and other animals, I think. It's mad, but amusing. Oh, I see what he's done here. It's another segue into Forest of Fire, which accounts for the animal noises. Here we have a great woody percussion rhythm set up over which those animal noises continue, and Anderson brings in a vocal melody. Quite what this has to do with Christmas is a little puzzling at this point. It's a good song, though, with high-pitched, sweet vocals above a very interesting texture. Anderson's lyrics are typical natural repeated motifs, stars, nature, positivity. I really like this song. There's some committed and effective choral singing to support the wonderful Anderson tones, and I find myself nodding my head. Suddenly it ends and we launch unannounced into Ding Dong Merrily on High. So this may be where the record spirals out of control for me. Synth bells, synth backing voices in an 80s sampled fashion. John sings the melody well enough, but I think it would have been just as well to leave this song out of the collection. It's not as bad as it could have been, but I'm left wondering why bother for 1 minute and 58 seconds of this. Save All Your Love has a reprise to complete the first side of the album, and I prefer this soundscape quite a bit. It's not really very Christmassy, but I'd rather listen to this than the previous song, that's for sure. So almost the whole side one segues into what is actually a satisfying oral experience, apart from Ding Dong Merrily on High for me. There is more than enough Anderson quality here on a side which seems to be significantly shorter than side two, which is interesting. That second side starts with, oh dear, the holly and the ivy, sleigh bells, twinkling twee high-pitched keys, and John affecting an American accent. Crikey. Actually, it's a lot better when the vocals start, and some of the choral arrangement is effective. The song itself was pretty flimsy, but just when I was getting used to the fairly pleasant singing, another gratuitous key change assaults the senses, like oral whiplash. Ouch. Flutes and oboes are thrown in as well as French horns and other brass, which are arranged very effectively. This semi-classical approach would have been better off for me all along, and there's a bit of a Jonah Louie stop the cavalry vibe to it. Yes, another key change is annoying, but the close is a lot more acceptable than the opening. A much better idea for me would have been to simplify it all and stick with the enjoyable semi-orchestral approach throughout. Day of Days is next, and it's another Anderson composition. This begins with a jaunty, slightly silly-sounding keyboard synth percussion accompaniment. Maybe it's not synthesized, but it sounds like it is. Anderson's vocals over the top are just as good as you would imagine, and this is a song you could easily hear on Thousand Hands Part 1. It does mention Christmas Day, but other than that, it doesn't evoke the season particularly for me. There is, however, a lovely violin solo and a general sense of joy which is infectious as the song continues. Anderson's vocals are committed and sparkling and save the song from mediocrity, along with that beautiful violin which evokes Anderson's work with Jean-Luc Ponty. Actually, looking at the recording credits, it could be an electric viola, but whatever the case, I love it. It's a good song. Now we have 2,000 Years, presumably a reference to the first Christmas, and another Anderson original. Sadly, this is Anderson at his silliest, accompanied by NAF Children's Choir and crystalline keyboard sounds. It's simplistic, trite, and naive to the point of being extremely irritating. The only positive thing I can think of to say about this song is that it lasts for 57 seconds. Hurrying on to the next song, we reach Where Were You by Anderson again. Synth drums, synth keys, and synth bass tie us firmly to the 1980s. If you're happy to be in that era, the song itself is a decent one. Another number from Anderson which could easily turn up as play-out music to an 80s office-based rom-com. It features a hyper-positive sing-along chorus and what sounds to me like a Rabin guitar solo, screeching in the background in fine style. Christmas, it's not, but I can visualise a helicopter shot of skyscrapers and harbour behind the end credits. Of its type, it's a good example. O Holy Night is next, the fourth of the five traditional Christmas songs. This one starts in a bit of a soft pop-rock fashion with undulating keys and 80s rock band backing, including huge snare drum sound. Once again, it's not too bad if you don't mind that snare. Suddenly, the second verse is sung not by Anderson at all, but by Grammy-winning gospel singer Sandra Couch, and it does feel like we are firmly in the 80s with more than a hint of Let the River Run by Carly Simon, which must be an influential song, as this is not the first time I've heard echoes of it on a Yes-related album. This effect is reinforced by the choir accompaniment. It's a bit odd to hear this fine vocal performance from Sandra and almost a complete absence of John Anderson right to the ending moments of the song. However, again, if you like big 80s productions, you'll certainly appreciate this one. So we're left with How It Hits You and a tiny segment of Jingle Bells to finish with. How It Hits You is the final Anderson composition, and it's another feel-good number with a trendy 80s synth-pop backing track. The vocals are very strong indeed, and the song trips along in great style. The chorus is catchy and fun, and the verses keep the motion going in interesting directions. Again, this one isn't very Christmas-themed, but it's a great general pop single. The arrangement is superb, with backing choir and keyboard solo again recalling some slightly later Wakeman chordal work. A percussion breakdown with children playing in the background is a fun element to throw in, as is the reprise of a fragment of Ding Dong Merrily on High. I'd listen to this one again and again. It's full of energy and excitement with a towering Anderson vocal performance. For me, it's by far the best song on the album, and I love it. Jingle Bells is a 31-second afterthought with what sounds like a young Anderson singing the tune, almost correctly. Looking at the credits, this is Jade Anderson, who was around 5 years old, when she recorded this. So overall, it's another somewhat uneven solo album by John Anderson. It's a lot more enjoyable than I was anticipating, and there are a number of really good songs here. It doesn't feel a lot like a Christmas album, despite the obvious traditional songs included, but the performances, arrangement, production, and writing are all good. I'd omit the Christmas songs, actually, and just have it as a solo album and connected with a seasonal festivity, but that's a minor concern. I'm pleasantly surprised that Three Ships is well worth a listen, and particularly at this time of year.
Greetings, friends. So this week, Kevin and I are going to be talking about the John Anderson solo record, Three Ships. Now, before I get started on my thoughts with this record, I wanted to take this opportunity to talk to you guys about something pretty important to me, and that's you guys, the listeners. I want to thank you all for your support and for all your comments that you've done throughout the year, as this year has been a pretty tough year for a lot of us, and for me particularly as well. Not only has COVID been something that I've been trying to steer clear of, mainly because of my elderly mother, which lives with me, who I've been keeping close watch on to make sure that nothing happens to her. But, you know, in these last couple of weeks, my dog, Jackie, passed away, which was a very stunning blow to me, to say the least, and made this year even that much more difficult. And now even other things have been starting to pile on top of it, like trouble with my internet, which has been giving me a bit of a headache. But through it all, your guys' comments and support of this podcast has made everything worth doing and worth the effort. And speaking of things that are making me feel better, this album, John Anderson's Three Ships, was the record at the right time for me. I know John Anderson can be a little bit, you know, overly happy in his music and the way he writes stuff, and he could write stuff that sometimes we all kind of roll our eyes at, but it's incredible how a record like Three Ships can make somebody feel so much better in a difficult time. As usual, I'll let more of the analyses of the songs fall on Kevin to do, but speaking as I usually do in more sort of man on the streets approach of it, these songs are basically a split of what you would expect from John Anderson, and the other half of it is very much his take on traditional Christmas songs, like Oh Holy Night, The Holly and the Ivy, Ding Dong Merrily on High, and Three Ships especially. What's interesting about this record, I found, was Roy Thomas Baker's involvement, a man who has a very checkered past with Yes, was used on this record, and I think he did a good job on this album. It does sound a little dated. It was recorded in 1985, but I think the one thing that works in this situation is that Christmas music can sound dated and you can still love it. I mean, really, what does a modern Christmas song have to sound like? In my opinion, I sometimes like the more traditional or older sounding versions of songs. So even if it does sound sort of dated on this record, it matters not to me. The other songs on here, like Easier Said Than Done, How It Hits You, are sort of the, you know, optimistic John Anderson type of songs. And, you know, they sit well, I think, on this record. But it's songs like, you know, Save All Your Love, and then also he did the repraise of that on the end of Side One. I did listen to this on vinyl, by the way. And it's songs like that, and especially Three Ships, that really took me to a very happy place, surprisingly. And I even have to admit that it was a very big surprise for me, because I kind of approached this record thinking that it was just going to be one of these situations where, you know, oh boy, here we go with John and another one of his overly happy records. But I have to thank John for making such a fantastic record at a time when I think I needed it very much. So I would highly recommend, if you're in the mood for Christmas, or if you need your Christmas spirits lifted, so go get a copy of Three Ships. I see it in every record store that I ever step in the dollar bin or so. And it's a good record for the Christmas time. That's for damn sure. The real keepers on this record, like I said, are Three Ships. All the Christmas ones, Oh Holy Night, The Holly and the Ivy especially, I found to be a very catchy song, and one that made me want to pull out the lyric sheet and just follow along. So I hope I didn't sound too overly sappy on this review, but it's been a tough year. So let's just leave it at that. And I'm sure I'll talk about this further with Kevin. So let's go see what Kevin has to say.
So we're recording as we approach Christmas in Canada and the UK, and Mark is here via Skype on his phone with me just now. Hello, Mark.
Hello there, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm not doing badly. What about yourself?
Things are going a little rough right now. My internet is screwed up once again. I don't know what I'm going to do apart from trying to hunt these people down and wring their necks to give me better service. But until then, this is what I have to do.
Yes, absolutely. Well, at least we can hear you. That's the main thing. So we're talking about Three Ships today, the John Anderson album. But before we get onto that, what I was wondering was, when you are looking for a Christmas album, Mark, or a Christmas single, what do you look for?
Usually I just try to find, well, if I'm looking for Christmas music, I try to find artists that I enjoy or artists I respect, like, you know, Chris Squire's Run with the Foxes is an obvious selection.
Yeah.
You know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, a lot of the musicians in that are fantastic players that are in bands that I like, so that's always a good selection as well. And, you know, my childhood brings me back to my father pulling out, you know, Elvis Presley records that had some Christmas songs on it.
Yeah.
So it's things like that. I'm very kind of a sucker for those kind of things. You know, I'm very like to think back to my childhood and stuff like that now as I get older. So, you know, those are the kind of things I look for.
Excellent. And what's popular in Canada around this time? Are there songs and albums that come out every year?
It's always the usual same kind of things. Michael Bublé's Christmas record and, you know, Mariah Carey's record that came out a few years ago is always big on the radio now. Yeah. We have a radio station here called 98.1 FM. And as soon as December hits, December 1st, all they play, like 24 hours a day, is Christmas music. It's a little tiring after a while, but, you know, you can always switch it off, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, in the UK, there are various ones. And actually, I was thinking about this. The ones that I prefer, you won't be surprised to hear, are the older artists, and particularly the prog artists. So in Dolce Jubilo comes out every year, the Mike Oldfield single, which I absolutely love that. And Jonah Louie, that I mentioned in my piece earlier, Stop the Cavalry. Christopher, A Spaceman Came Traveling. Another bit of a prog one there. Greg Lake, of course, I believe in Father Christmas. And even Jethro Tull, Solstice Bells is one of my favourites as well, which isn't really Christmas, but that's Solstice, so that's a slightly different spin on it, I suppose. But in the UK, there are various ones like the Mariah Carey, etc., and then some by the bands of the day every year release new ones. But then there are the old war horses like the Roy Wood, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, and Slade, Merry Christmas Everybody, and all those sorts of things. But, you know, the ones that really do come out each year tend to be from the 70s, the 80s, and with some pretty decent musicians on them, like Fairy Tale of New York. Is that one that's popular in Canada with the Pogues and Kirsty MacColl?
Not that I know of. I mean, I could be incorrect. I mean, here where I am, I don't find that it's very popular at all. I mean, the thing that's usually popular here in our neck of the woods is, like, you know, Feed the World, you know, Let Them Know It's Christmas. That's popular here.
Yeah.
Our version of it here, the Canadian version of it, the Northern Lights version, stuff like that. Those kind of things are usually popular. But, you know, we also get, like, a lot of, on the kind of older stations, we have like a lot of Elvis and stuff like that. But what's also interesting, and what I'm tending to find that I'm doing, much to my surprise to myself, is the classical stations that are on here are starting to play some really wonderful Christmas music, classical versions, obviously, you know, like the Nutcracker and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And again, that brings me back to my father and stuff like that, so I'm a little sentimental with that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but it's fascinating. I with my classical and prog rock background, I do like the ones that blend the classical songs or the traditional songs really well with rock music, and there are some that do that extremely well, but there are some that I don't like. and what about Chris Squire's Swiss Choir? Now that's another one, just like this Three Ships, another one that I deliberately haven't listened to because I'm a bit scared to. So what do you think of that album?
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, you know, sure, there are things on it that we'll probably roll our eyes a little bit about. But overall, I think Chris Squire's Swiss Choir is actually a bit better, I find, in terms of, you know, production. But he also has the benefit of having done it, you know, more recently than John, you know, John having done it in the mid-80s with Roy Thomas Baker, you know, that's, you know, already going to be kind of dated, right?
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't agree more. But let's talk about Three Ships then. So as you put it, it's a feel-good record. You obviously enjoyed listening to it in the current difficulties that you've got, and it helped you with that. And I absolutely agree. Generally, the majority of it for me was very much enjoyable and feel-good. There are some cringeworthy moments, but I think that was probably because it was the first time I'd heard this record this week. And I think on further listens, they'll probably become less obvious as I get used to them. Obviously, there are the traditional songs on it, which are clearly Christmas songs, but the rest of it, does it feel Christmassy to you?
I think for the most part it does. I mean, there's obviously songs on there that I think that he just put on there maybe just to fill space, because maybe he just didn't have enough time to do some more material, you know, in time to you know, within the schedule allowed, right, for him to make the record. But I think overall the feel is there. I mean, even from the whole album cover, I mean, he definitely tries to go for that very Christmassy sort of sentiment. And it really did, you know, strike a chord with me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You've already mentioned Roy Thomas Baker, and I think the production, especially as you say, for the time, is actually rather good. And if you think that the Paris situation that they were all in together was only about 5 years before this, obviously John thought it was a good idea to get back in touch with Roy Thomas Baker. And personally, I think it works well.
Yeah, which answers a couple of questions, namely, who had the real issues with Roy Thomas Baker during the sessions? Obviously, it wasn't John, right? Yeah. Because he wouldn't have hired him back again. So obviously, other members of the band, Steve Howe most likely, probably had issue with Mr. Baker. But, you know, I just think that it worked for him. There's no doubt that he's a good producer. I mean, he's made some of the most classic records that we listen to, right? Yeah. I mean, Night at the Opera, hello.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can't knock him as a producer in that sense, but maybe he just doesn't seem to work well with certain bands. But in this situation, it worked good. It sounded good.
Yeah.
You know, it helped that John had some musicians in him that, you know, he was familiar with, like Trevor Rabin, right, obviously. And, you know, when you have that kind of a situation where you're surrounded by people that you're comfortable with, you usually get a good result.
Yeah, yeah, and certainly did. And yes, it's another one of those like Thousand Hands Part One, which is absolutely packed with musicians. There are choirs and all sorts of people in there. And you've mentioned Rabin. Not a great deal of Rabin in there, to be honest, is there?
No, not really. But I mean, I'm sure that he was around for part of it, right, obviously. So, you know, and when you look at the people that were in there, I mean, to what degree John knows these people, I mean, only he would know. I mean, I don't know how well or how familiar he is with these people. But obviously he has respect for them enough to have brought them on the session. Or maybe Roy Thomas Baker maybe knew them, right? So
Yeah. It's a fascinating selection of different people, that's for sure. And I do think Anderson is on top form. I think his vocal performance is one of the best that I've heard on his solo albums. I think it's as good, at least as good, as any of his other solo albums, particularly from the Time Animation and City of Angels and all those sorts of things. I think he was really, really enjoying himself.
Yeah, I think for sure his voice was fantastic. He sang it really well. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, when I first put this record back on, because I've listened to it a few times, you know, already, and even prior Christmases. But when I heard him singing Three Ships this time, you know, I couldn't help but feel, you know, a little bit of emotion coming up, because it reminded me of Christmases past, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, also the other songs, like, you know, the Ivy song there, the Holly and the Ivy. I mean, that, I mean, I know you weren't exactly hip on that one, but it's a great song. You know, I think he played it rather well and sung it really good. So, I mean, you know, for everybody, these things are going to be differently reacted. Like, some people might find Elvis Presley Christmas music enough to bring up tear to their eye and to, you know, make them feel very sentimental. Others might think it's just garbage. So everybody, you know, reacts differently to music, and that's the wonderful thing about it.
Yeah, and it's a really good selection of of the different things that John is interested in as well. And I think possibly Forest of Fire is one of the ones that he put on just because he happened to have it. But, you know, the percussion on that could be really cheesy if it had been done badly. But actually, I think that song works really rather well, Forest of Fire.
Yeah, I mean, I think that song turned out really well, actually. And again, I kind of agree with your comments about, you know, at first glance, you kind of wonder how that has anything to do with Christmas. But, you know, knowing John, he would probably come up with some huge, you know, cosmic reason why it does connect with it. So, you know, I think that let's just give John the benefit of the doubt that maybe this song does have some sort of emotional connection for him as far as Christmas goes.
Yes, of course. Now, one that definitely does evoke Christmas, O Holy Night. I was amazed to hear that Grammy Award-winning gospel singer Sandra Couch on there. Is that someone that you have any knowledge of yourself?
No, not at all. But I remember just when I was listening to it the other night there, I had forgotten that she was the one singing in it. And when she started singing, I was like, wait a minute. You know, yeah. It kind of took me aback. I'm like, that's not John. You know, like if he could change his voice like that, that would be very impressive. But I mean, it was a fantastic performance. And you know what? I actually got to give John props for that, because it's not very often that somebody of his stature and of his ego, and, you know, most good musicians have a degree of ego to them, would allow to have such a great singer on there to kind of almost, you know, overshadow them a bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I was very surprised that he handed over the reins completely on the lead vocals there, and he just comes in a little bit to add some touches towards the end. The whole final passage of the song, the final verse there, was all given over to her, and she's a fantastic singer, absolutely brilliant gospel style singer. And I looked her up on Wikipedia, and obviously in the gospel genre and in that area, she's done a massive amount, but I don't think she's particularly successful outside that genre. But she should be, because her singing is fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's a she's one of the stronger sort of gospel singer ladies that I've heard, for sure. And you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not exactly very versed in that genre, but you know, she definitely has a fantastic voice, and you know, sung the song extremely well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and so I was really, really surprised and delighted to hear that I didn't cringe anything like as much as I thought I would. And it is an album that I would definitely put on again at Christmas and enjoy listening to. And I think it's of the similar sort of quality of as Animation and those that he made in that time. And there's some great things on Animation and also on this record. So, you know, I think it's a great discovery.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Animation is actually one of my more favorite John Anderson solo records, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and also I also have a kind of a connection to it, because I'd worked with Neil Kernan, who actually produced that record for John. And I remember having a great conversation with him when I was in Chicago, when he was working on a record of mine, that we talked about some of the, you know, John Anderson sessions and stuff like that. And he always had some interesting things to say about John, in a good way, not in a bad way. Right?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is. I really enjoyed listening to that this week. Of course, if this is an album that you've heard, please do leave your own comments on the show notes for this week. I wonder, should we try Chris Squire's Christmas album next week, Mark?
I think it would be probably unfair not to do it.
Okay, so we'll see if we can fit that in. And now, obviously, Friday when I release these next week will be Christmas Day itself. And we wish all listeners a fantastic time if you celebrate Christmas yourself. So we'll say maybe it'll come out on Christmas Eve or Boxing Day. But let's see if we can listen to that album and enjoy it that next week. But for the moment, Mark, thank you very much indeed.
You're very welcome, Kevin.
Just before we go, here are the podcast producers and the patrons. Yes Music podcast producers are Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier, and Wayne Hall. And half of those Yes Music podcast patrons are Mark James Lang, Martin Kelberg, Michael O'Connor, Miguel Falcao, Neil Caffrey, Paul Hales, Paul Tomei, Paul Wilson, Lobate Scarp, Rachel Hadaway, Mark Zarkol Bags, Robert Nasser, Scott Colombo, Scott Smith, Simon Barrow, Stephen Lamb, Steve Dill, Steve Perry, Steve Rode, Steve Scott, Stephen Raw, Terence Sadler, Tim Stannard, Todd Dudley, Tony Handley, Joseph Cottrell, Keith Hoisington, William Hayes, and Alan Begg. As always, continue thanks to Robert and David. So thank you very much indeed to those patrons. If you'd like to start 2021 by joining them, helping to support the show financially and keep the lights on here in the new YMP Towers, then please do go to Patreon, patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast, or click on the link on yesmusicpodcast.com. So that's just about all the time we have this week. Thank you for listening once again. We hope to be back next week, having a listen to Chris Squire's Swiss Choir. Not easy to say. Hopefully easier to listen to. In the meantime, do please keep listening and getting involved via Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.